dedicated to the survival of American democracy in an increasingly dangerous world, this is Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney, acted as Assistant Secretary of Defense for International Security Policy under President Ronald Reagan, founder and president of the Center for Security Policy in Washington, D.C., the go-to man for defense and foreign policy issues, joined by the greatest minds in the security policy business, the special forces in the war of ideas at Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome to Secure Freedom Radio. This is Frank Gaffney, your host and guide for what I think of as an intelligence briefing on the war for the free world. We are having this conversation on the eve of one of the most important political debates in American history, that between Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton for the presidential election of 2016. I'm thrilled to have with us for a very wide-ranging and informative conversation about topics that should feature prominently in that debate, given their importance to the future of this country. Our guest will be Mark Helprin, a prize-winning, best-selling, and extraordinarily accomplished author, commentator, pundit, and essayist. A man who has given tremendous thought to issues involving the security of the United States and the challenges thereto for decades. And I am privileged to call him a friend as well as a great inspiration. He has recently written an important piece in the Wall Street Journal that touches on some of the subjects we'll be discussing today. And I'm thrilled to be able to do so with Mark Helprin. Welcome back, Mark. Good to have you.
Thank you, Frank. May I just make one point that I am not Mark Helprin, who is a creature of television. I was here way before he was, and I think he should go to St. Helena or Tristan da Cunha and just shut up. People tend to confuse me with him, but I am not he.
It is Helprin, not Halprin, and an altogether different intellectual and, well, literary pedigree, indeed, political as well. Mark Helprin, correctly identified. Let me ask you first and foremost, Mark, about this essay in the Wall Street Journal. I really think that since the end of the Cold War, at least, it is one of the most thoughtful, most, well, provocative pieces I've seen about the need for nuclear deterrence and the challenges to ours, extraordinarily timely and well done, as always. Give us a flavor of what you wrote about there.
Well, the very root of it is this, that since the end of the Cold War, the United States has neglected its nuclear posture, and Russia and China and even now Iran have not. And we have because we have fallen for the untruth that it's now a safer world and that there's no possibility of a nuclear exchange or nuclear war. And I am surprised myself that, for instance, Henry Kissinger and George Shultz and a lot of other people who were the wise men of the nuclear age and understood deterrence and the variations of nuclear strategy have come out for nuclear zero. Nuclear zero is impossible, given that you can store enough nuclear charges and warheads to wipe out the United States, for example, in a space volumetrically equivalent to a Manhattan studio apartment. You can always hide things, and as we know, even the Iranians are expert at hiding things. We're always surprised by countries that have hidden their nuclear apparatus. For instance, Israel. The CIA thought that Israel got nuclear weapons in 1968 or 1969. I know for a fact that Israel had nuclear weapons in 1964. The United States didn't know that. We were surprised by North Korea's nuclear test. We were surprised by India's. Probably by Pakistan. I don't really recall the specifics. But the point is that these things are relatively small given the size of big countries, and especially countries that have enormous cave networks and that are secretive to begin with in their culture and in their governance. So nuclear zero is impossible because one can hide enough nuclear weapons easily to then say, well, my opponent has no nuclear weapons, but I have enough to destroy the world. So therefore, you have to do what I say. I cannot understand why Henry Kissinger and people like that think that nuclear zero is possible. That said, people who were not involved in any kind of nuclear thinking during the Cold War, such as President Obama, have completely swallowed this idea that we can get to this. And we have been progressing toward it. We in the United States have been reducing the number and the quality and not modernizing our nuclear weapons, while Russia and China have been doing just the opposite. And one of the points that I made in the article, which is really, really important, is that we see the nuclear balance in regard only to Russia, whereas China, which is a rising power that we fence with almost every day in a semi-military, paramilitary sense, in various locations from the East China Sea down through the South China Sea, and even in a sense in the Indian Ocean in Africa. China has no restrictions. No one's ever given any thought to the Chinese nuclear arsenal. I don't mean no one. The Pentagon knows about it. But why not bring China into a regime of nuclear control as Russia and the United States have entered? Russia only half-heartedly, and it cheats. And the United States, with great enthusiasm, going even beyond the requirements and wanting essentially to disarm ourselves.
I consider it to be one of the most egregious acts of malfeasance on the part of people like Henry Kissinger and George Shultz and, oh, by the way, Sam Nunn and Bill Perry, the former Secretary of Defense, the Democratic elements of this Gang of Four, as it's been called. And it seems to me that the Republicans sort of went along with this program, even though they know better. And I've actually had people tell me that Henry Kissinger has acknowledged that this isn't going to work, and it's just something he kind of lent his name to but doesn't really believe. This is a terrible disservice, and I think you're right to call them out on it.
Yes, it is. And, it goes to something that's even more basic, which is that the public understandably does not want to be immolated in a nuclear war, but people don't understand, and there are whole ideological fronts that depend upon this, depend upon a lack of understanding of it, is that you don't have an arsenal of nuclear weapons in order to use them. You have them because you're forced to have them to deter the use of them. People don't understand deterrence. If the American public understood deterrence, we would have no problem. But unfortunately, there's always a chorus of people saying, well, the generals want more toys because they love war. Well, they don't love war. They're the ones who have to fight war and die in war. And what they understand better than anybody, really, is that if you are well-armed, then you won't have to go to war. And that's the basis of our entire political misunderstanding of national security.
Yeah, it really speaks much beyond this question narrowly of nuclear strategy, nuclear deterrence, and so on. But I, having, with considerable distinction, served in the Israeli armed forces, Mark Halperin, you know wherever you speak, where these are the people who least want war. They very much want to see it prevented, and deterrence is, of course, critical to that. We're going to have to pause in a moment, but just to finish one further thought, you mentioned the very, very telling point that it's not hard to secret away large numbers even of nuclear weapons, let alone just what you need to destroy most countries. But you also observe in this piece in the Wall Street Journal, Mark Halperin, that your ability to hide even the delivery systems for these kinds of weapons, long-range missiles, for example, in countries like Russia and China, or even North Korea, for that matter, is not that challenging a problem.
No, I mean, what you need, see, the United States does not have mobile missiles. We forswore them, and it was a terrible decision. All our missiles are fixed, And with the precision guidance that's available now, and has been for at least a decade or maybe two decades, those are vulnerable targets to a first strike. But Russia and China have had mobile missiles for a very long time.
Hey, Mark, hold the thought. We're going to have to come back and develop this a little bit further. We'll do that with Mark Helprin right after this.
Visit us at facebook.com/securefreedom with Frank Gaffney.